I know we've got limited time, so I need to get right at it. In Africa, time is really not a factor, is it? But it is here in the U.S., so I've got to try to respect that the best that I can. If you could just start that first slideshow. I want to give just a real quick report on, you know, what God did in this outreach season here in 2018, the first part, January, February, March, and part of April. But we're so thankful for your prayers, and often it's on the road again for us when we get back to Africa. There's none of the fun and games that we get to, whoa, what happened here? That was interesting. That's not how I saw that, but anyway. You see all kind of interesting things on the road. I love road trips because you never know what you're going to see. Up on the right, you can see a little something on a motorcycle. But did you expect that? He's literally riding on the gas tank to accommodate all those things he's going to take back to his cows. Now, apparently something happened from the import of my computer to your computer. So this is really quite the thing. Okay, well, maybe we just skip this thing since it's part of it's working. That's great. That's not where we live on the left, but that's where most of the people do live in the northern part of the country. We were able to meet a bunch of very good brothers up front in the north, northern part of Ivory Coast, and these are places that we're going to prepare for these meetings. I have no idea how all these pictures got sideways, upside down, in whatever way they are. It was right during a harvest time. The corn harvest was coming in. The cotton harvest was also being brought in. And you can see these guys with a cow cart full of corn cob bringing in the harvest. And it's amazing to me that these little teeny cotton plants, thousands and probably millions of them become, you know, what you see being carried in on this oxen cart. And then that together is coupled with hundreds and thousands of oxen cart to be loaded on 18-wheeler trucks, you know, by the dozens and then taken to places where they process it and sell it. And in the north, it's the Sinufo people, very unreached, very private group of people that cover the whole northern part of Ivory Coast. We were able to go to Korhogo, Bondiale, Tengrila, Ferkese Dugu, Wangolodugu. If you can't say that, I don't blame you. It was hard for me too in the beginning. God sent in a lot of people from outside this year because he knew that we needed the extra help. We had people as far away as Austria, Switzerland, Virginia. We had received quite a number of people, even people from Lahore, Pakistan. Naman Sarosh was back in his element on that little motorcycle riding around. And then we had guys right here from the church. Steve and Jay and Robert joined us. It was such a blessing to have them be a part of what God was doing in Ferkese Dugu. I don't know how this thing got messed up, but it is. So you're seeing only part of what I had intentioned. This is great. I love technology. That's why I don't do PowerPoints, by the way. for this very reason. I just like using the word of God because it never works out for me. So these are some folks right from your midst that were able to join us and really be a blessing to not only to us, but to so many other people. We had folks as old as 82 years old come and join us. So don't think you're too old to go to Africa, because you're not. If Ed can do it at 82, you can do it. God gave us just unprecedented favor with mayors, with village chiefs. And you have to understand, this was a part of the country that was divided for, you know, almost a decade or a little bit over a decade. And we weren't able to minister at all in the northern part of the country because it was divided by civil war. And God just opened it back up. And it's amazing how he's using all the different tools. One was a new believers booklet that we're able to put together and get printed into French. And we gave those to the new believers at the new believers meetings in the mornings. And so we are grateful to all that God has done during the outreach season. Literally thousands of people were able to hear the gospel, most of them for the very first time in their lives, hearing about the salvation that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. They had never heard that before. There's not a bunch of churches scattered everywhere where they could go and find out or rub shoulders with people. You know, the Christians are a very small minority, about 2% in the north of the country. So you can imagine how God was really just moving in a wonderful way. Healing was a big part of bringing people to the table. You see people eating here around a communal table. That's how it is in the north. And so as God began to heal and touch people, they just like rushed to that communal table, you know, in the living room, and just started partaking of what God was doing. People that were in back pain or in terrible crippled conditions were healed. This particular lady had pain for 5 years. This lady in the yellow, she was at home. She was not even at the meeting. Just heard what was going on over the loudspeakers. God touched her where she was at home. And then she came running out to the field to testify of what God had done. This little boy, his eyes were touched, and his first thing came out of his mouth was, "I'm going to do good at school now," because he couldn't see. He couldn't see the blackboard, and he wasn't doing very well as a result. This lady, that's it on that. You can go ahead and close that off. That particular lady that you saw on the last slide is pretty amazing. This is one of those things where, you know, I'm glad that somebody had faith because it wasn't me. She came up on the platform, and I really thought she was taking her last breath. It was labored breathing. I've been with numerous people at the point of death, and, you know, I've seen people expire and pass away and go into eternity, and I thought she was going to do that on our platform on the first night of our miracle salvation and healing crusade. You know, but when I first saw her, that was my natural reaction, just off, she's getting ready to die. But then, you know, the Spirit of God is there. The Holy Spirit is there. And then that faith begins to well up inside of me. He said, you know what? This is an opportunity for God to show himself strong. So we just gathered around her, began to pray for her. We didn't see any visible change, but the next night she came back completely whole, perfectly healed. And not only did she come back, but there were many of her fellow villagers where she lived came with her. And this was a particular village where the pastor there had been trying to reach into for over 8 years. And every time he came in, they said, "We don't want what you have to offer, get out." Very exclusive group of people, the Senufu people. They have their own beliefs. The initiation starts at 7 years old. They have their first initiation. And that goes on for four stages until they reach almost the age of 30. Then they're pronounced, you know, a elder or an adult part of their community. And so they were not open to Islam. They're not open to the gospel. They don't want anything except that when this lady that everyone knew about was touched powerfully, it just opened the door wide open. They said, "We need to hear more about what this Jesus that they're talking about is all about." And so now they've invited the pastor to come and establish a small church there in the village. Two or three other villages around there have also opened up their doors where for years they were pushed out. And all glory goes to God. We know that's nothing that we did, that's something that he was doing. So I'm so excited about what God is doing on the face of the earth. The gospel is so powerful. It is so glorious. We don't have to prop it up. We don't have to make things happen. And he's called us to disciple all nations. What a challenge. I used to think about that as a young person. How is that going to be possible? All nations are to be discipled. And God said it, so it has to be possible, right? He has big plans to reach mankind, and how can that be? And as I grow older, I understand more and more, it's not going to be by your efforts, it's not going to be by my efforts, but it's going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit through you and through me. We definitely have a part to play, but it's going to be through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want us to turn very quickly to Ezekiel chapter 47, and we're going to read some scripture verses there. And then I'm just going to share a little bit of exhortation on them and try to wrap things up as quickly as I can. It says in verse 1. Then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east. This is Ezekiel 47. And the water was flowing down from under from the right side of the house from the south of the altar. And he brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate by way of the gate that faces east. And behold, water was trickling from the south side. When the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits and led me through the water, water reaching the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the knees. And again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the loins. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen, enough water to swim in, a river that could not be forded. He said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me back to the bank of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, on the bank of the river there were very many trees on one side and on the other. Then he said to me, these waters go out toward the eastern region and go down into the Araba. Then they go toward the sea, being made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the sea became fresh. It will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will live. And there will be very many fish, for these waters go there, and the others become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes. And it will come about that fishermen will stand beside it from Engedi to Engelam. There will be a place for the spreading of nets. Their fish will be according to their kinds, like the fish of the great sea, very many. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They'll be left for salt. By the river on its banks on one side and on the other will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear every month because their water flows from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be food and their leaves for healing. So we see here, and we can go to slide number 2 if there isn't that already going there. Sorry about that. I'm new at this, trying to give visual things, and I don't know if any of this will work, but we're going to give it a shot. So in slide number 2, we see how Ezekiel was taken from the dry ground into the waters. And I believe that these waters represent the river of the Holy Spirit of God. He was taken from the dry experience of dead religion into an ever-increasing faith. And, you know, what an exciting thing it is to be able to plunge into the river of the Holy Spirit. I remember before I encountered the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what my experience was. And I remember what happened when I got baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's like I was set on fire, literally. And I mean, there was a passion there before, but it's like that passion was just magnified, amplified. I don't know how to explain it other than I became a very zealous person about God and the things of God. No one had to tell me, hey, you need to get into church. You need to get involved. You have to do this. And it just started flowing out of me. I wanted to do things for God. I enjoyed it. It was a pleasure. It was a joy. It was not like a task or a burden or something that you knew you just had to do and somehow you make it happen. It was something that just flowed naturally out of you. Now, to say it wasn't work would not be telling the truth. You know, we'll get into that in a little bit, but I better stop there. So we see that in slide number 3, it says Ezekiel was led by the angel in stages. The first stage was 1,000 cubits, and that put him at an ankle-deep experience. And this is what I would like to call a minimum stage. You know, I don't believe God wants us to remain at a minimum experience in him. You know, you can't get anywhere by falling a parked car. Have you ever tried that? I have a couple of times. You just get your head bonked, you know, if you run into a car that's not moving. And so I believe God wants us to be moving in him. We can't go forward without the Holy Spirit really carrying us. And I want to encourage you in that. You know, we don't have to settle for less when we can have much, much more. And besides that, it's pretty much impossible to swim in 3 inches of water. I don't know if you've ever tried that. I've seen some of my kids try that in mud puddles, about 3 inches. And there's a lot of activity, but there's not a whole lot of swimming going on. And slide number 4, unfortunately, this is experience of many Christians. You know, they're grounded on the bottom and they're flailing about in 3 inches of water, lots of activity, but not really getting anywhere. I remember there was a quote from Charles Spurgeon. He said, some Christians, they sail their boats in such shallow spiritual waters, they end up scraping their keel on the bottom all the way to heaven, when in fact, they could have been carried on a flood tide. And in Pocosin, we know about this very well. When that tide is out, you can have the experience that you see on the left. And when that tide's in, you can jump in a sailboat or a jet ski or whatever and enjoy yourself. And I just, you know, want you to know that you don't have to be frustrated. You know, many times we as those that are working in the kingdom of God in whatever capacity, we get frustrated. And we're on the brink of quitting because we're do-it-yourself people. And I can preach this because I was one of those people for many, 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 many years. You know, for a long time, you know, I was there. I felt my position was whatever Pop said, I was the make it happen guy. You know, no matter what, I'm going to make this thing happen. And we did make some things happen, I will tell you that. But a lot of it was in my own strength. And, you know, as you get older, you learn to work wiser, right? I'm looking at an old general right over here on my left, Brother Johansson. And as you age, you realize, you know, the things that we did can be done better and easier. And God has a plan if we'll get into the flow of the river of God. So it says here in John chapter 5 and verse 19, therefore Jesus answered, slide number 5 if you're not already there, yeah, you're there. Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. I believe the success of the Christian is directly connected to the working of the Holy Spirit in our life as he reveals what the Father is doing. We see what the Father's doing. This is my grandson, Nate, actually, over at our beloved house at 58 Browns Neck Road. We've been doing quite a bit of work on it. And, you know, he saw me working and trying to cope some of the baseboards. And so he picked up a coping saw and tried to do the same thing. He was doing whatever he saw his granddad doing. And I believe this is so true. God wants to show us things if we will take the time to see that relationship that comes out of knowing God, there's a flow that we can get into that will carry us to the places and the experiences God wants us to have. And we'll see amazing things happen, just like that river touched, healed, and brought healing. And, you know, wherever it wasn't fresh, it brought freshness. I want to tell you that, you know, God is here to take us in. And so this measuring thing was done 4 separate times. He didn't just take Ezekiel and say, here's this great river, and pitch him in, you know, pitch him into the river. He didn't do that. You know, he took him in stages. Aren't you glad that God takes us along gently? You know, he leads us. I don't know if there are some people that have learned to swim that way, but it's not the best way to learn to swim, just to get pitched into a body of water. It's great. I've watched my wife teach our kids and a lot of our grandkids, and just very gently, by stages, you get comfortable with the water at a certain level, and then you begin to learn those first things about holding your breath and not breathing in huge amounts of water while you're in the water, and so on and so forth, until, you know, they get the whole thing and they're able to swim and navigate. So I'm so glad that God is still leading me. He's still teaching me. You know, when you're in the river, you're in a completely different element. And there's a totally different law that's in operation. And you really have to rest fully and allow the water to carry you. I remember a few years ago, the church here organized a whitewater rafting expedition. And some of you may have gone on that with me, and I took my son Josh, my oldest boy, with me. And that was quite an experience. We can go to the next slide. Oh, and the next slide, that's the one where he leads into, there we go. And, you know, as we went through these rapids, it was an exciting thing, and we navigated all these difficult places, but then there came a point where the river kind of just leveled out, and we were just floating along, and our guide said, everyone out of the boat, you know, and we jumped out of the boat, and we're just like laying back and letting the river carry us. That was one of the most unusual, interesting experiences that I've ever had in my life. It was the coolest thing. You just let the river carry you. You know, you didn't have to do anything. You just lay in there floating, and you were moving along. And, you know, when you're in the river of the Holy Spirit, you know, it's his waters that are carrying you. He takes the weight off your feet. You know, he gives your back a rest, which it certainly needs one. Since these last 2 weeks, it's not been very restful for this back. He does the work. So what is the hindrance of this happening? You know, it really is self-reliance, the next slide. And it's self-effort. You know, Self causes us to just trudge along, carrying that weight, and we get weary along the riverbank, when in fact, we could be in that river and allowing that river to carry us along. I do not believe that God intended for us to be beasts of burden. He didn't call us to be mules. He didn't call us to be slaves. But instead, he's called us to be his sons and his daughters. And he's inviting us to a banqueting table that he's prepared for us. And remember the story about the prodigal son and then the son that had always been with the father, you know, and he said to that son, he said to him, son, you have always been with me and all that is mine is yours. That's the heart of our Father God. God wants us to change often the negative image we may have of how we think the Christian life is supposed to be. You know, it's always supposed to be a battle. We're supposed to be weary. We're supposed to be fighting right and left. You know, we can never do enough, whether it's prayer, whether it's Bible study, whether it's activity, whether it's work. You will never, never be able to do enough. And that is not what God has called us to be doing. He wants us to get into his river, into the flow that will carry us along. It will be a glorious thing. Now, I'm not saying you will not have responsibility. I'm not saying that you will not sweat, but it will not be you striving for you and for your purposes. Once you see what God has for you, it will be something that will be a joy for you to do. It's not something that you have to make yourself do or force yourself to do. It's a joy to be able to serve God, to be able to link up with him. And believe me, there's sweat involved, but it's a joyous thing. It's not something that is difficult. So when it comes to the things of the Spirit, I believe that there is no limit. We cannot over partake. We cannot have too much of the Holy Spirit. That's the wonderful thing about this. It is limitless. And I don't want to be one of those Christians when I get before the Father and, you know, and then my eyes are open, I realize I discover I only had 5% or less of what God intended for me to have or to experience. You know, there is so much more for each one of you. God wants you to experience. I don't want to get up there and say, oh my goodness, I could have had that. I could have enjoyed this. I want to say, yes, Lord, now help me. Bring out that measure. Take me from ankle deep, you know, to knee deep, and from knee deep to the place where it's so deep I can't walk anymore. I've got to just rest in you and swim in this thing. So often in Scripture, the sea is used as a place to describe humanity, to describe stagnation, or even as a dumping ground for our sins. However, the river of God is very different than that. It's vibrant. It's full of freshness. It's full of life. There's a constant flow of new water that comes through. And God has something new every morning for each one of us here. There's something new. If you noticed, the devil's supermarket, it's pretty much all canned. It's all bottled. He repackages the same old stuff every now and then to make it look different, but it's pretty much the same old stuff. But God has something fresh, something new for each one of us every single day if we'll tap in. So Ezekiel, after he was taken in the river, he was brought back to the riverbank. Some people might think, well, this is kind of anticlimactic. but in New Testament terms, that's not the case, because once we have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, that river flows out of us continually. Remember Jesus in John chapter 17 and 37, 38, he says, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and he cried out and he said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So we can have a continual experience as we are filled with the Spirit of God. It never gets stale, doesn't ever have to get old. And, you know, everything that this river touched was being transformed. Everything around him was being transformed. Even the trees that lined the bank, they were giving fruit out all the time. There was never a period where they were shriveled up or dried up. And that's why God says it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit. wherever the river flows, there was life. So I want to encourage you not to be a bystander or one of those guys that's trudging along wearily carrying that burden along the riverbank. It's time for us to jump in to the flow of what God is doing. And you'll be amazed at what he will do. You know, in the northern part of Ivory Coast, I was absolutely blown away because this is a people that are closed. I mean, very closed to the gospel, to anything, to any outsider. But yet, the Holy Spirit of God blew the doors wide open. We're getting continual reports from these five different places that we were, how God has opened up new areas, things are happening, miracles are still taking place. You know, it's amazing what God will do when we allow him to use us and we flow in what he is doing. So I just want to encourage you that we can live in victory. We can get into that flow of the Holy Spirit. And if you're here this morning and you're thinking, well, I'm only up to my ankles, don't be discouraged. God's got a measure. He'll take you to the next level. And if you're at that place, don't think this is all there is. There's something more. He'll measure out another 1,000 cubits. And before you know it, you're just going to be swimming and amazed at what God has done in and through your life. God wants to use each one of you. He has something amazing for you to experience. When I say that, it's not just hype. It's not hyperbole. It's the truth. The more I yield to God, the more the Holy Spirit comes into me, the more that I see God do. It is an amazing thing. So I just want to encourage you this morning. Our time has pretty much wound down. But if we could just give a moment to respond. I don't know what's planned next. Steve, is there something particular? Okay, if it's okay, I just want to open up the front here. And, you know, if you would like prayer, if you would like the prayer teams to pray with you, if you would like me to pray with you and my wife, Laura, and whoever else is here that's willing to, you know, to pray with you, we would love for you to experience more of God, more of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through you. If you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, what better time than right now? Allow God to introduce you to amazing things. So I thank you for putting up with that very interesting PowerPoint. And I pray somehow some images, whether they were sideways or upside down, might have gotten into your heart and spoken to you in some way or something that I've shared with you this morning. We certainly love you and we appreciate all that you guys have done in praying for us, standing with us, supporting us financially, and sending us out of this particular local community. So thank you so much for all that you do for us. You've been a great blessing. That you're why we're still doing it, as a matter of fact. So, yeah, I guess that's it.
Stay here.
Okay, yeah.
So as you look at the river through Scripture, it starts in Genesis very quickly. The river flows from the garden.
Yep.
And it breaks into four rivers and gives life to all of creation. This is the ancient Jewish biblical idea. The Garden of Eden was the temple, and from the temple flowed the living waters. The temple was the presence of God. You come to this passage here with Ezekiel. That river flowed from underneath the threshold, the doorway where the presence of God was.
Yeah.
And it flowed out, and it is reaching to the uttermost parts of the earth. The river is going to reach there, changing oceans and everything else it has in its path. It's going there. You come into Revelation, the same river is flowing, and this is a symbolic picture of what God is doing in the earth today.
Right.
You are made, humanity was made to live in the Garden of Eden, the source of the river. When something is taken out of the position where it was supposed to live and put in another place, it malfunctioned. Put a VCR in the bathtub. Put your phone in a bathtub. What's going to happen to your phone and your VCR? It's going to malfunction. Mankind was taken out of the source of the river and put out in the wilderness as a sin in the Garden of Eden. We've been malfunctioning ever since. You cannot live and function properly without being in the source of the river. And right now, the river might have just come to your toes, and you might have sensed the presence of God for a little bit, and it's cooled you off on a hot day, and you love God because he's good and he's kind. But you are still malfunctioning. You must continue to follow the river. The river is your path to the presence of God. You're not going to find it in the woods. You're not going to find it in the mountains. You walk the river to find the presence of God that you might function the way he made you to function. Some of you made it to your knees going like, if I keep going here, I'm going to lose control. If I keep going here, I won't be able to make decisions on my life. This river's going to push me somewhere. The river's your pathway. You want to be who God called you to be. You want to become what God called you to become. Follow the river. It's going to take you right to his presence, into the temple of God. Maybe it's only at your toes. That's God saying, I've got a path for you. Follow me until you're soaking wet. Let's pray to close out the service. Ministry teams will be available here, but some of you know you need to take some more steps in this river toward the presence of God, to functioning right, to being right. And we'll be available to pray for you. Father, we just come to you this morning. We thank you for making the path clear and straight. There's nothing in the way. There are no trees blocking this river. There are no rocks blocking this river. It's a straight pathway to you. It's a pathway of giving up control of our lives and allowing the Lord to be Lord of our lives, directing us by the power of his Holy Spirit to go where we're to be. And so, Father, today I thank you for each person in this room, that your Holy Spirit is moving on them right now, drawing them further in their pathway toward you, into the temple, the presence of God. I pray, Lord, by faith, we take those next steps. I pray, Lord, that we would find someone to pray with and communicate what God is saying to our hearts, that we might take those steps collectively. And so, Father, we just pray a blessing on this congregation and this people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.